Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, January the 6th of 2021. And I'm your host as usual, the Miracle Man. I live in up in Midland, Michigan, although today I'm on location down here in my mom's house down in the Detroit area. So, but like I was saying, I'm so glad that you've made the determination to walk away from the hustle and bustle of the day, tune into this great Miracle Man show here tonight, to learn more about the ways and the things of God. And we're going to continue on with the book of Psalms, the great things that's in it, that are, and really is good. I'm enjoying doing it. Amen. So, a bit on what happened today. I was listening today to something that Rodney Brown said on Sunday morning. He even said that constitutionally, Pence does not have the authority to reject the electoral votes to although those in the House and Senate, the Republicans, they do have the right to object. They can't like throw out the other, you know, but they can discuss and all that. What I think needs to happen, I think it needs to go to where it's based on. What'll need to happen is it'll need to be based on the state legislatures. So here's how this works. Every state gets a vote apiece, down the delegation, meaning your legislature's Republican or Democrat, you know, more. We have more states with Republican legislatures than what we do Democrat ones. So that should favor, that would be Trump's last stand. And we really need to pray that the right thing happens. And in Georgia, those runoffs, I don't believe either one of those election results. It both shows that that Ossoff and Warnock won. However, both of those were so close. Not only that, I know they were baked in fraud again. And I think that with this whole fiasco thing, people need to go to jail. A history of the last few elections in Georgia. Because Georgia, you can see as an indicator. All right, Nathan Deal, Republican, re-wins the governorship handily. 2016. And for presidential, because we want to look at, you know, a couple counties, look at 2012. In 2012, if you went back and looked, you would find that Romney won Georgia by 6 points. He won, included in those wins were pretty good wins in Cobb County, a county to the northwest of Atlanta. Parts of it almost abut the city limits of Atlanta. So Cobb, Romney won, handily won Cobb. He also handily won Gwinnett County, which is a county to due north by northeast of Atlanta along Interstate 85. And then also Henry. Henry County is a county to the southeast of Atlanta around 75. Now, all three of these are metro counties. Romney won all three of them by pretty good amounts. Same thing happened in 2014. 2016, Trump gets it by about 5 points. He barely loses Cobb. He barely loses Gwinnett, barely loses Henry. Barely. But he still won the state by about almost 5 points. So, keep in mind these are three of the biggest counties in the state. My mom's here. I want her to answer a question. Do you think they were messing with voting machines in these three Atlanta counties in 2016 even?
I don't know about 2016.
Do you think there might have been maybe a little bit?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
If there was some.
But in 2020 now?
A lot.
Absolutely.
But I'd have to see what those results were in 2012 compared to them with those counties because in other places it still looks rather similar to what it had in 2012 and 2016. In the places where there wasn't necessarily fraud going on, where they weren't necessarily messing with it. So before you think, we have to pray that God deal with all of this fraud, all of this corruption that is going on. There are corrupt people. Voters are doing their part. Oh, another thing I heard today. There are 100 as of November. There were 133 million legally registered to vote voters in the United States. Trump got 74 million legal votes. So means that. Here is that basically what that means is that Biden would have only gotten 59 million legal votes. 74 to 59. Think about that.
How does
74 million to 59? That is a 15 million vote margin.
Then how can they say that Biden's winning?
Well, for what I think what it is many states counting illegal votes, including places like California and others, I'm sure. There we go again with the illegal vote, with the, illegally immigrant, homeless that may have not even been registered to vote. You have, I'm sure you have felons voting in many of the states where they cannot vote, people who double voted, people who, and various things like that.
So, Rivers, does it come right down to being able to prove it, though? Is that the hardship?
Because a lot of these election officials will say, no. I think if you're going to be an election official, you have to take a serious ethics course going forward. That's what it'll have to take, because this was had a lot of fraud, and there was fraud, and some of it was from inside, but also other parts of it were from other countries, like China, and Dominion's not even from America.
Can you go back and talk about Pence today? Did he absolutely just defame, lie about? Was he corrupt?
He was not corrupt. What it is even what Dr. Brown said, is that constitutionally he doesn't have the authority.
So why would Trump want him? What would Trump want him to do?
Well, that's what I don't know. And I wonder there if there was some kind of misunderstanding.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would wonder about now. Because if Pence constitutionally does not have the authority, then guess what? Constitutionally, he doesn't have it. And apparently, Trump must have misunderstood. And I say misunderstood.
Was like
wanting it to get it over with?
Wanting him to take a strong position for Trump. Could have he taken a stronger position in support of Trump?
In a case like this, you have to act based on what the Constitution says. What does the Constitution allow? What does it goes based on, the Constitution, and that's just that's the way it is. You're welcome, Mama. And so, listeners, obviously, whether you're from in America or not, keep America in your prayers. And because I know, I have stats to prove it. I have about my listenership. I have stats that tell me that I have listenership, that I have listeners from all six continents where people permanently live.
And I've been
saying that for months. So thank you from this continent here in North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, Oceania. The same thing. Thank you to all of you and to all the many different countries we have represented. And I want to just thank you for your support. Thank you so much for tuning in. And so, on a bit of a less somber note, today I was in this, up here in Michigan, we have this huge Christmas store up in the Frankenmuth, in the area that's between Saginaw and Flint. Slightly closer to Saginaw, only slightly closer to Saginaw, I would say. But anyhow, it's this store called Bronner's Christmas Wonderland, and the Christ on the Christmas Wonderland is capitalized.
Yeah.
The rest of it isn't, but the Christ part is, and that is really cool. And also, I went in there. Mind you, January 6th, so I was thinking there'd be, nobody in there at all. It was actually pleasantly surprised. There was a decent amount of people in there. Yeah, they were playing, of course, Christmas music,
yeah.
Including all the old Christmas music, like one of the songs today, that song about If It Doesn't Snow on Christmas, How Santa Used It, you know, and that one that they were playing when we were going out to the car, Mom, that song was literally written back in the 1940s. And it was a recording from the 40s, and I tell you, I wish that every mall and every large retailer and even the restaurants, if they so choose, like for next year, a Christmas list. Christmas music playlist that is just like that one, because I love that Christmas playlist. And speaking of it being January 6th, you know, today is the day of Epiphany, and something to do with, I'm not sure what it is, but it is like the 12th day of Christmas because of the 12 days of Christmas. When I was younger, I used to think the 12 days of Christmas started with the 14th, ended on the 25th. That's what I used to think. Found out, not true. And so today is the final day. So I find it strange that everybody skips the other 11. And many people will have already taken their stuff down. Of course, I don't. We were in the store today, this other little store, like cheese shop, you know, like this gift shop type thing. And this
Bratwurst
stop shop, you know, it's like a little deli shop, Bratwurst shop type place up in Frankenmuth. And this lady said that sometimes she doesn't even take her stuff down until mid-February. You know what? Yeah, you want to know? And I was thinking, because I was thinking to myself, listeners, I was like, you're going to have to take it down this week. You know, do I really want to know? Should I? Yeah. And then she's like, I don't always take mine down until February. But depending on the house, depending on the size of the tree, we want it to keep it up. Because especially if you could somehow hook up your speaker system to the tree, and you just find it so that it will just play it throughout the winter, like throughout January and February. Like if the tree somehow had a signal in it and it could connect to like the Pandora or whatever, maybe it could stream Grounder's Christmas playlist. Who knows? And maybe the tree could dance. But this lady that I was talking to about it was unashamed about it. She was not ashamed at all. She was actually kind of happy about it. And I was glad with what she had to say, because it made me feel like I decided to leave it up a few more days, that I wouldn't feel like I was crazy or anything like that. Really? Oh boy, my mom was over there trying to see how to get me going, and I'm like, but anyhow, and And they're sitting there, and we're in there, and they're playing the song. It's like, there's snow, how I want to wash and bathe in snow, and all that. And I'm like, she's singing that song about snow, wanting to, you know, bathe in the snow and that. And I'm like, stop her. Because, you know, she doesn't want snow on her bed. She doesn't want snow in her bathtub, snow, you know. I tease her about it and say, I want to throw some on her bed, you know, like just kind of, you know, I don't know, underneath the sheets, maybe a blanket, maybe a pillow, you know, maybe all of it, you know, I don't know. Just see how to, like, bake it in. They can bake that stuff into the machines. You can bake it into the mattress. I guess. Right? I'm going to change it. Nonetheless, listeners, we're going to get into... first of all, I want to tell you about something real quick. And what it is our book, Rivers of Miracles. I want to encourage you to go online to riversofmiracles.com and give the book a look and order the book. Please order it. Read it. And don't be that person who just reads, you know, three pages of the book and then says, oh, there, I read it. No. Say, I fully read it until you fully read it. It's not about truth versus lie. It's about, I want you to get and understand what's in it. About a God that could not see, but a God that we totally believed in. And, of course, we know that he is a real God. And if you've listened to this show over the years, you know something that I've said several times on the show. We're real people. We have real problems, but we serve a real God. And he's more than able and willing to see us through and help us. And I thank the Lord for that. That we truly serve a real God. Amen. We are going to sing a couple of songs, and then after that, I'm going to open up the Word of God. Your presence is all I need. It's all I want and all I seek. And without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need. And without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Your presence is all I need, all I want, and all I need. And without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need. And without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone now, worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone are worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone are worthy of all praise. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this heart and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Oh, the joy I've found. You laying down my crown at the feet of the King. I surrender everything, and all the love I found. Laying down my crown at the feet of the King. I surrender everything. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Oh, the joy I found. Laying down at the feet of the King. I surrender everything and all the joy I found, laying down my crown at the feet of the King. Cause you're everything. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. You can take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you and we worship you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're doing in our midst. We magnify you tonight, Lord God, and we just give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you that you're strengthening us. You're enabling us. You're just ministering to us. Whatever we have need of, Lord God, we know that whatever we have need of from you, you're going to do it for us. And I thank you, Lord God. I speak that in your name that we would be healed in our bodies. We would be healed in our minds. May these storms cease. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you, O Lord, would just be there and comfort those who need comforting. And strengthen those who need to be strengthened. That you would just place your arm around us. In Jesus' name. I make my confession over this program tonight, Lord. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program. I say that huge increases in listenership would come into this program. And most important of all, Lord Jesus, I claim that a huge amount of souls would come into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This Bible is more than a history book to me. It's more than a religious book to me. It's more than a storybook to me. I believe what my Bible says. No matter what the devil says, people say, or my circumstances say. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go with me, please, to the book of Psalm. Amen. Psalm 10. We're going to continue looking to the book of Psalms. Amen. Just finding my spot. Then I shall begin. And also I'm giving you a moment to find it yourself so that those of you at home can follow along. because I believe that if you follow along, that's how you're going to get the most out of this. Because I want you to participate and not just sit there and listen to me. Amen. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? I have arrogance. The wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes that he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and he reviles the Lord. I have pried the wicked eyes, not seek him. In all, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all of his enemies. And he says to himself, nothing will shake me. I will always be happy, and I will never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages from ambush. He murders the innocent, waiting in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. Victims are crushed, and they collapse, and they fall under his strength. He says to himself, God has forgotten, and he covers his face, and he never sees. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to an account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief, and you consider it to take it in your hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to an account for his wicked actions that would not be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted, and you encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is with of the earth may terrify no more. Psalm 11. In the Lord, I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They sent their arrows against the strings. to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne, and he observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. And the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur, a scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Psalm 12. Help, Lord. For the glory is no more. The godly is no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor, and the flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we have triumphed with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe, and you'll protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about whenever wheat is vile. Whenever what is vile, vile is honored among men. Psalm 13, Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on men and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. 14. Fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people, as men eat bread, and who do not call on the Lord, there they are, overwhelmed with dread for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. This will possibly be the last one. Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and he has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and he casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Dean will be the last one. We're going to talk about these. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase. Those who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lies. The fallen lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I love that. Sorry. I love that. To fill you with, let's back it up a little bit. So backing up to 10. And he talks about how the wicked are very far from God. And they've fallen very far from God. And how the wicked will even sit there, they'll even say, "Oh, I'll always be happy. I won't have trouble. And I got a word for that. I have a name for that guy. Brother Big Shot." Doesn't that sound just like Brother Big Shot, Mama? Brother Big Shot. Brother Big Shot. And God totally, David totally recognizes how God will absolutely go after Brother Big Shot, because he thinks he's Brother Big Shot. He thinks, "Oh, I'm always happy. You know, we even know, as Christians, those of us who are Christian, we even know that we're going through some trouble." But this guy tries to make it sound like, no, not David, Mr. Big Shot tries to make it sound like, "Oh, I'll never have trouble. You live on the, well, Bubba, you live on the earth. You know there'll be trouble." And for you, sir, who says there won't be any, you'll get even more trouble. More. Not less. More. You know, some of us in the day to come, we might face persecution, but it may not be the same level of trouble that the wicked get. You know? Now let's look at 11. I love what he says in the first verse there. "In the Lord I take refuge." Or the way we would say it, today's age, though you would understand it, would be, "I take refuge," or "I take safety," or "I take shelter in the Lord." And, of course, we can all lean on the Lord. We should all be seeking him, whether we're going through stuff or not. I'm serious. It's really important that you have a relationship with God. You really should. If you don't have one, you need one. Parents, listen to me. Those of you who have children, who have younger children, you need to realize at some point your kids have to have their own relationship with Jesus. They have to. When they're like 1, 2, 3, or you drag them to church, drag them to class, you go to a good church, they may do their little Bible thing, you know. And my mom could tell you. She could tell you. Some of those ladies back there in the nurseries, oh, man, they got those kids, all. Studying the Bible. Nursery kids. These 3 and 4 year old kids. And so he's mentioning, in the Lord that he takes refuge. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the Son of Man and examines him. And then it mentions the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. He hates the wicked. He hates those who continue to do wicked. They continue to be violent. They continue to do wrong. Now, the person who repent, who used to be like that, who used to be vile, who used to be violent, former, and give their life to Christ, he loves them. And it says God does examine the righteous. I don't care how righteous you are. You will still pay, give an account to God. You will. See any exemptions there? I don't know, Mom. Did you find any? Did you find anywhere it says, oh, unless you're a Shukla, unless you're related to the miracle man, unless you attend Living Word, unless you're a Barclay or a Smith or... you know, these different Heistead or different, you know, different names of some of the large families of the church, or you're the preacher man.
Yeah.
There is no exemption. There is no exception. He will judge you. He will give an account to him. And even when he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you know, you'll still give your account to him. And when I even look at Matthew, where Jesus is talking about a man who has the five talents, he gives the other guy two. He gives the other guy one. Each according to his ability. According to his ability. So, the one who has five, they go and do. Given ten more, given five more, now they got ten. And they show it to their master. And he says, even faithful with few things, now I'll put you in charge of many things. Two. Guy number two. He has two talents. His talents double now. He has four. And then he takes it to his master and he shows him. Master says, been even faithful with a few things, and now I'll put you in charge of many things. He says, enter into the joy of your Lord, of the Lord. In both cases, enter into the joy. Enjoy yourself. The one talent man. That's what I meant when I said the one guy. The one talent man. He didn't turn out so well. He went and he hid. He had that talent. He was sad. And he hid the talent, thinking his master was hard. Reaping where he hadn't sown, gathering where he hadn't scattered seed. So he just hides that money in the ground. He hides it somewhere. And then Jesus said, find that man, find that talent, take that talent away from him. Give it to the guy who has the 10. And that guy gets in big trouble. That guy did not hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. When you give your account to Jesus, my hope is that you will hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I hope he says, to me. I hope he says, well done, River Shukla. I really hope that's what he says to me. And, but of course, it's on me to make sure of that by how I, my life. Moving on, Psalm number 12. And the psalmist is talking about basically everyone has become wicked and evil, corrupt. This is like what's like God literally looks down on the earth and he found no one. He didn't find all but one or two. There were none. Let's look at 13. At first, this psalmist is saying, like, how long will you forget me? Hide your face. He says, give light. While I'm sleeping, if my enemy will say, towards the end, he says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. What happens, I think, in that psalm is he fully remembers, and he remembers that the Lord really has been very good to him. Because at first, that Psalm 13 almost sounds like he's doubting. And it's like, how long will you hide your face, God? How long do I have to wrestle with my thoughts and my sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? I'm sure some of us every once in a while may feel that way. Hopefully we realize. You know, when I think about it, the Lord really has done good to me, been good to me. Do you think the psalmist, when he wrote that, was doubting, or do you think he was just going through a lot of stuff in his life? Sure, he was going through stuff. Because the truth is, you live on the earth, you're going to go through stuff. You will. Well, I haven't yet. You will. You will. Psalm 14 talks about, first, it talks about how the fool says, you know, there's no God. You know, I do whatever I want. I get. And then God looks down and he says, oh, will evildoers ever learn? God's precious in the company of the righteous. Evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor. But the Lord is their refuge. Well, the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad, is what it says at the end. And then let's talk about Psalm 15. Who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and he does what is righteous, and you speak the truth from your heart, from his heart, and he has no slander on his tongue. He doesn't do wrong to his neighbor, and he doesn't cast a slur on his fellow men. And those who despise a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, and who keeps his oath even when it hurts, and who lends his money without usury. He does not accept his bribe against the innocent. She who does, if you do right all the time, if you always do righteous, you won't be shaken. You won't be shaken. If you do wrong, you will be shaken. 16. First, the psalmist is asking for safety. And he's saying, you are my refuge. You are my shelter. Ran out of the glorious ones on whom am I the light? Child of those who increase in I will not pour out from the water or take up their names on my lips. Verse 5. And they man is secure. My lines will fall on me and in pleasant places, surely. Point one. I have a delightful inheritance with the Lord. A delightful inheritance. You know what that means? Blessing. God wants to bless you. And then I love how verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. And it says, even at night, my heart instructs me. Even at night. So you could write, I allow the Lord to be my counselor. I will make the Lord my counselor, my teacher. Verse 8. I have sent the Lord ahead of me. In other words, you could say, I put God first, meaning before myself. And I think about what God would want. Amen. Verse 9. It says, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices, my body will rest secure because you do not abandon me to the grave, nor do you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill, in other words, we could say this. The Lord shows me the path of life. And then under that, right, the Lord gives me joy in his presence with eternal pleasures at his right hand. Amen. So, God talks about various things. And what I like about Psalms is all throughout it, it deals with different things. And some of them it talks about, I will praise God. Others, the psalmists are asking for guidance. They're asking God to be their counselor, be their teacher. Show them how they should live. Show them the right way in their life with God. Because in the day we live in, a good walk with God, a good relationship with God as important. Well, let me tell you something. With it being the last days, every day we get closer. Every minute we get closer. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. See? Time's going by. Getting closer. And here's the thing, something I want you to realize. Jesus said, I will come at an hour that you are not aware of. I will come like a thief in the night. You know what that means? That means it's on us to be ready. And some of you may think, oh, I got 20, 30, 40 years to get right with God. I'll do it then. I might do it tomorrow. I might do it next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. The Lord doesn't tarry that long. And if he does, what if something happens to you and then you end up getting taken out? You know? And I don't think you don't want to go to hellfire tonight forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, all because you did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because let me tell you, hell is not a figment of imagination. It's not. You want to know what else, though? The cool thing is the nice thing is, heaven is not a figment of imagination either. It's very real. It's just as real as hell. But we dream. But you know, I do love to, you know, fantasize about the donut, about donuts in heaven, and you know, different things. My pastor has even been asked, you know, before, is there sugar in heaven? And Dr. Buckley says, yeah. He got very excited about sugar in heaven. Remember, Mom? Dr. Buckley got very excited about that. He did. He was like me. He did. He wants it there. Just like I do. Do I think it's there? Yeah. The delight, the desires of your heart, you know, and that. So I think they're real. The thing is hell's just as real as heaven is. But there's no donuts there. All the donut shops, any donut shops there have been closed because of the intense fire. They've been closed because of the intense fire. And it's not pretty. You do not want to go there. Maybe some of you do not know Jesus at all as your Lord and Savior. Some of you, maybe you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior at some point. Same time you're in trouble. I'm not saying I know. I mean, you can say, I know I'm in trouble with God. I haven't been doing right. If you're in trouble, you know, not doing the right thing, you've walked away from God, well, can come. Yeah, I mean, you can. Tonight's a great night to repent before God. You can get it right with God tonight. And maybe others of you who are listening may be like, you know, maybe I've accepted Jesus, and for the most part, I'm right. But there's still some areas where I feel like I'm just not doing so well. Like maybe it's you're good at a lot of other things, but you're skipping some church often and things like that. And you can just come to God and you can say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I'm coming to you. I'm getting things right with you. I haven't necessarily walked away, but you haven't seen me as much as you would like. And that's changing now. And that fourth person is the one who is like that blue ribbon. You've been right. You've stayed right. You've stayed pure. And you've stayed righteous through thick and thin. And you're in a very good spot with God. And thank you to all of those who are like that. But for those who need help, and for even the rest of us, I'm going to pray a prayer in a couple minutes. And I'll have you repeat it. Because for one thing, we can have the fruit of our lips. For two, I don't want reading verses over the last couple of nights about how God despises the wicked and not give you a chance to make sure that you're not on that list and to make sure that you're right with God. Because one of the last days, folks, could come anytime. And we should all make sure that we're right. Because the truth is, he's coming. So, and I know there'll be Christians that we thought were great. They won't make the rapture. So I want to make sure that you make it. So I want you to just make that decision in your heart to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. So we're going to pray this prayer. And my hope is that this year we can win many souls for Jesus. So pray this prayer. Jesus, I ask you, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. For you, Lord Jesus, to help me as I go through this life. Teach me your ways. Show me how to love like you. Teach me your goodness. Show me what you are. I ask you, Jesus, to comfort me. I ask you, Jesus, to teach me your ways. I ask you to be my leader and my guide. Dear Jesus, to dwell in me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now for those people I talked about, for those of you who gave your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, thank you very much. And welcome to the kingdom of God. For those of you who are one of those other two types of people, either you're the type who asked Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, but then ran away from God, totally ran astray, and decided to come home. Welcome home. For those of you who didn't necessarily leave home, but you kind of, you cooled off. You kind of got kind of lukewarm. You got maybe even got a little cold, but worse, maybe you got lukewarm, and maybe you kind of, teeter-tottering. For those of you who made the determination to recommit, feels good this time, welcome back to the fire. And for those of you who prayed the prayer just because I said to do it, well, feels good, just as good this time as it did the last time, first time. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. And so, amen, listeners. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. And I speak Psalm 1 over us in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no plague shall come nigh us. Our immediate loved ones, you have given your angels charge to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, fire, flood, crash, sickness, disease. None of this evil comes near us, our immediate loved ones. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity. And we're going to have Psalm 1 days to finish up the rest of the week and to start next week, Lord God. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. I sure love you. Go in God. Till next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.